Congressman, how are you?
I am doing well, sitting here, a beautiful, bright morning, and with a double espresso in my Harley-Davidson coffee cup, I'm doing fine.
All right. Congressman, where were you on 9/11?
9/11, I was in my personal office at home, carrying some bags and a briefcase, getting ready to leave in the next few minutes for Metro Airport to fly to Atlanta, Georgia.
Prior to the attack that took the life of Osama bin Laden, how long were you aware of what was going on and the planning that was going on during this situation?
I was just like any other private citizen. I knew nothing about it. I was only aware that it had taken place probably 10, 15 minutes before it came on the news because of an email I received from one of my staffers who had picked it up and said, you better be listening. Something big is coming. Sound like Osama bin Laden has been killed or at least captured. That was really the first time I heard it Sunday night around 9:45, 10 o'clock.
What were your thoughts when you first heard? And now that you've had a day or so to chew on that information, what are your thoughts?
Well, it was relief in the sense that this is one step that had been a long time coming that just evaded us, and now it had come to fruition. And the fact that justice had been served on a criminal of the worst order, a coward, one who had hidden behind others and had perpetrated crimes on humanity that are unthinkable. So it was a relief that's part of history had been settled. Since that time, there's been a greater affirmation in my mind of the power and strength of a just society that continues to move forward with dignity, with resolve, and I think with great qualities. Watching, you know, our troops in training over the years, and then just assuming what type of individual was brought into that setting and the way they carried it out and the time frame was involved and the speed and rapidity and everything that had to go at least close to right. It's amazing the prowess of our military, of our intelligence gathering entities. And again, a real example to the watching world that America may not always appear to be fast in concluding an issue, but it is sure. And so I'm proud of that. In the locker room this morning, talking with some members of Congress from New York, it was even brought in fuller perspective. We're talking of Democrats and Republicans. The joy that they had in watching their people, their friends, now expressing an exuberance of finally having retribution carried out for the lives of friends that they had lost at Ground Zero or at other spots.
Congressman Tim Walberg is on our show live via the phone, and we appreciate that greatly. The congressman is a member of the House Education and Workforce Committee. He is the chair of the Workforce Protections Subcommittee. Additionally, he serves with the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, and probably most important right now, the House Homeland Security Committee. How do you think this will affect Homeland Security for the next few weeks?
Well, I think we have to continue to commit the eternal vigilance, and I think that's what we are doing. This heightens the awareness. As I went through the airport yesterday, you know, everybody was on the ready, and I think we have to continue to keep that in mind and in clear focus. The same would be true on our Homeland Security Committee. Peter King, the chairman, is holding hearings this week on Pakistan, so it'll be a very, very pertinent and timely opportunities to consider where they were at, what involvement they had in the process, what security or lack of security we might have in our context with them. But I'd also hasten to say, Tony, that even as we do our due diligence and eternal vigilance in being prepared and ready for terrorist attacks and terrorist involvements, I think also we as Americans need to continue living as Americans, free Americans, Americans that expect to roam about our cities and our communities, freely and expect to do that in relative safety. So I'm saying let's not let what took place in Pakistan with bin Laden and the threats now that are being made by his terrorist organizations stop us from still going about our lives as free Americans with all the rights, privileges, and opportunities that we are blessed with in this great nation.
Congressman, the heist of the price of gasoline is killing us here in Michigan. Is there anything you can do to help?
Well, I think two things. We've got to get our budget in line. When the debt situation and the devaluation of the dollar is not helping the prices because it costs more dollars, because the dollar is worth less to buy a barrel of oil. That certainly adds the price of the pump. Secondly, we have to do whatever is possible to bring from our own resources the fuel and energy resources that we have and need to use. So this week here in Congress, bills will be brought before Congress for consideration to end the permitorium permit process that's been in place that is really stopping us, and permits aren't being given to develop new energy sources, old energy sources, nuclear power plants, drilling in the Gulf. The moratorium has to be lifted. And then there's some environmental EPA concerns that we continue to address here in Congress. So those are steps moving forward, but none of those will be rapid, even as it was with George W. Bush when he came in early on in his administration and did away with the moratorium on drilling in the Gulf. The price dropped drastically almost overnight, but we didn't have the devalued dollar that we have now. And so that's going to slow it down a bit. So it's about time we take action on it, and I know in the House we will do that. It remains to be seen what the Senate will do, but it is an issue that we address daily. And I know back in the district when I filled my gas tank at 4 yesterday, at 4:29, my wife told me she filled it up later on in the day. That's really starting to narrow the focus.
I got two questions left for you, Congressman. You recently voted for a bill that protects Medicare, but it still contains cut in Medicare. Talk about that.
Well, it contains cuts in areas that, frankly, we need to look at: fraud, waste, abuse, and putting in place economies of scale for Medicare. The Ryan proposal, which is a budget proposal and a very aggressive budget proposal that cuts $6.2 trillion from the U.S. budget, and that's pretty much across the board. Includes dealing with those areas of Medicare, Medicaid waste that may be in place, and then giving more incentives on the other side for people to make choices with resources they will have for their medical needs. The proposal purports to give to those people 54 years of age and younger the opportunity to basically choose the same medical care plan that members of Congress and federal employees have. That's a good thing moving forward. For those over 55 and older, nothing changes, Social Security or Medicare under this program. And so we think we've dealt with it by saying, you know, if we do nothing and just let it go on as is, Medicare is gone in 5 years. Social Security is bankrupt in 2017. That's not acceptable, and we have to deal with that as well as restructuring the budget, so that the economy can turn around. We need more dollars from the private sector, small individuals, to use, invest, and grow.
All right, Congressman, you are breaking up. Might be our fault, but we appreciate your time greatly. Can't wait to talk to you again. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Tony. Have a great day.